Hey, movie lovers, you can enjoy Real Nerds Podcast in many ways. You can go to our website, realnerdspodcast.com. There you'll find articles and the podcast. You can go to our YouTube channel and you will see the Real Nerds Pod Show. We're also on Blue Sky. Hey, did you know Facebook is still a thing for people? Yep, we're on there too. We are also on Threads. There are many ways to interact with us. All our film adventures are posted on Instagram. If you have a social media account, you can find the Real Nerds Podcast.
Camera, action!
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd
just
can...
talk to film!
I'm sorry.
Take it outside.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot, and a real nerd can follow the plot, and a real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action!
Dun 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 dun. Maybe I should do Hell to the Chief.
No.
Fuck that guy. but I do love America, Brad. And we're the Real Nerds Podcast.
It's the United States. The America is the whole continent.
Yeah, I'm sure it is. So every week we see a new movie. We podcast our experience of the world. But we're kind of seeing a new movie, kind of not. Nothing really tickled our fancy this week at the Movieplex.
It's 4th of July. Come on, Hollywood.
Yeah.
Where's your Independence Days? Where's your Men in Black?
It's interesting because you told me earlier in the month, you said, hey, wasn't Spider-Man supposed to come out? And I said, no, it's always been the 31st. And then after stuff started happening, I go, maybe Brad was right, because I do know that... Gee, Merry Christmas. I do know that it was delayed a little bit because Tom Holland wanted to film The Odyssey first. And so I think you're right. I think it was supposed to come out on July 4th, and then they pushed it a month. So we decided, it's the 250th anniversary of America. What better way to celebrate the United States than seeing two films that highlight the founding of this nation?
Who says two libtard cucks can't celebrate America?
Yeah, exactly. I love the United States. I know you do, too. Right now, it's really tough because of all that's going on, but it doesn't take away from the nation that was built by
slave owners
and on the, it's a different time. But the founding fathers are very important to how
they had a good idea.
They did. And
a gestation of an idea,
but with their flaws, they are still very smart men, and they still built a nation. And we have the benefit of looking back at things in hindsight of, yes, Thomas Jefferson was a great writer and very smart. And he also took advantage of the free labor he got and built a beautiful home. And he's very interesting, that guy. My favorite time in American history is the American Revolution. So I was totally on board when you suggested that. I hadn't seen Hamilton, the stage production, and you hadn't seen 1776, which is a stage production, which they filmed into a musical. And so we decided, let's watch both of them, and then we'll talk about them on July 4th weekend and tell everybody, get excited for America. Yeah, so I thought actually it's a great idea by you. I'm not going to take credit for it.
Thank you.
But like I said, I love the American Revolution. I love that time part in history. I don't know how many books I have of Founding Fathers and the American Revolution War. It's a lot. It's so much that...
I'm kind of a student of the American Revolution.
Are you? Nice.
No, you.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably Michael Scott.
I wouldn't want to say I'm revolutionary, but I'm a little bit revolution. James Polk wasn't a founding father, but he was the 11th president. Anyways, when we were on vacation one time with my wife, we went to his home, and his home in Columbia, Tennessee is also a museum. So you get to see, you know, hey, this is the dining room. This is all this stuff. And they have a museum gift shop, of course. Of course they do, of course. So I always love getting books about the American Revolution or founding fathers or very early presidents.
Does he have a library?
Hampshire? No, he doesn't.
Not every president gets a library.
No, because the modern ones. No, pretty much the I mean, Teddy Roosevelt just got one, and that's. I'm trying to think of one that's earlier than him. Maybe Lincoln has one. I don't know. But Polk, his is just his home. But you learn about him and all the stuff he does. So, anyways, in there they have this book section, and I'm looking. I go, man, I have a lot of these books. And my wife comes from behind me, and she says, "You're stupid. You have that book. You have that book. You have this book. You have that book." Just saying that I love this time in American history, the first 50, 60 years of its founding. So I was excited to do this. So, Brad, what film do you want to start with?
I'm way more interested in hearing your reaction to Hamilton, because I was like, I can't believe you haven't seen this movie yet.
That movie was fucking dog shit.
You bastard.
Next. No.
I knew you wouldn't like it.
So I guess we can do this a little differently, because we can't really, can we really spoil history?
We're not spoiling history. We're spoiling the production of history.
I guess. So, Brad, do you recommend Hamilton?
Yeah. I forget what episode I talked to. It's not that long ago that I saw it, because they brought it back for theaters. Yeah, it's impressive. You know, I wasn't on the bandwagon back when it came. Mm-hmm. It's like, what, 10 years old now?
Yeah.
But when I sat there and watched this filming of this stage production, and like, it's so dense and creative, and educational, and just, I can't believe, like, you know, it's big now, but like, I'm sure when they first put it out there, it wasn't as the spectacle probably wasn't like that big. So it's just like the ingenuity of these creative people to make this based on, you know, on paper probably didn't sound that interesting.
So, yeah, no, I had an amazing time watching this movie. One, is there a trailer for it? There has to be, right?
Yeah.
In theaters.
I saw the trailer when I was.
I absolutely recommend you watching this. You can watch it on Disney Plus right now. You can get a Blu-ray of it. You definitely should. And I'll talk about it after we play the trailer, but I recommend this wholeheartedly.
We fought with him. Me, I died for him. Me, I trusted him.
Me, I loved him.
And me. What's your name, man?
Alexander Hamilton. My name is Alexander Hamilton. And there's a million things I haven't done. But just you wait, just you wait.
Alexander Hamilton!
I'm so grateful you're here.
Welcome to the show.
Hamilton tells the story of founding father Alexander Hamilton. Now, if you've read Ron Chernow's book, Hamilton, which this is based off of, and you go, how in the fuck are they making a musical about the founding father? Not only did they make it, and you're right. So it's been going for 10 years. It sells out every day. And you go, how is this selling out? And I remember in 2016, President Obama was a big endorser of it. So was his wife, Michelle. And I think that's kind of when it started gaining. I mean, I'm pretty sure it's already popular, but I think that's when it started. Oh, you know, this might be a big deal. And it really introduced the world to Lin-Manuel Miranda, who plays Hamilton in the production. One of the things that I was nervous about is, how does a stage production translate to film? And not only that, but make it dynamic enough where you don't get static and bored. And when it opens, it's dense. You're right. You said it was dense. And it took me about a half a song to get into the rhythm of it. And when they did, and they started, you started picking up what they were doing. And then you realize how dynamic this performance is and how well it's choreographed. And the camera moves, and there's different cameras set up, but the performers are so incredible in it, and they're making history fun. As a student of this time period and the American Revolution, there's some liberties they take, but again, I am fine with them taking liberties because the story they're telling is about how an immigrant, yes, hey, people listening, did you know Alexander Hamilton, the founder of the Federalist, who wrote the Federalist Papers?
The man on your $10 bill.
Yeah, who created this economy. Yeah, guess what? He wasn't born in America. Weird. And there's a lot of people that said if he was born in America, he would have been a president. So
all those people were not born in the United States.
Yeah.
They created the United States. They were here before it was born.
Yeah, so it's a masterclass of, because the drama, which is really fascinating to me, is the real drama is real life, and it is drama. I mean, whether it's the Revolution, whether it's Hamilton's rivalry, which is true with Jefferson and Burr, and, you know, because Alexander Hamilton was kind of like a little prickly guy, and but incredibly intelligent, and, you know, they don't know if he had slaves. They said he might have. He might have. I don't know. No one knows. But it's fascinating because I do know that they also cast people of color in, traditionally, obviously, George Washington, Alexander Hamilton are white people. And so after I watched it, I said, well, it's a curious casting choice. And I was just curious why they did it. And I found an interview with Miranda, and he said that he wanted it because that's what America is now. It's a hodgepodge of all these cultures, and he's 100% right.
Yeah, they're not making a documentary. They're making a stage musical.
Exactly, and you should represent who we are. It was interesting today. My son asked me what American food is, and I told him, I said, well, American food is everybody's because we're a nation of immigrants, so we have Italian food. We have Nepalese food. We have
Chinese food.
We have pho. We have so many varieties of food is because those
American food is processed food.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? But who we are as a nation is because of people like Alexander Hamilton, who wasn't born into wealthy Virginia. He's an orphan. He's a bastard.
He worked his way up.
Who was born on an island in the Caribbean and taught himself how to make money, taught himself math, taught himself to read. And then he became one of the smartest people during he's George Washington's right-hand dude. And back to the show, how they're able to convey this in not only rap, but R&B, sometimes traditional show tunes. And it's nonstop. It's 2.5 hours of these actors just showing you how incredible they are.
And not even just his story, like his wife's story, yeah. George Washington, Aaron Burr, like all their stories.
Yeah. It's again, because I remember you talking about it and saying how great it was. And I mean, I was skeptical. Not that the play wouldn't be great, but just, does it translate to my streaming off to the TV? And yeah, it's the way it's lit. It's lit in a way that it invokes candlelight. And, you know, they have the center of the stage is spinning.
Yeah. Circular. Yeah.
It
moves, and like the costume changes and the set changes because of that.
And you made people care about Alexander Hamilton, and people should, they should know who he is, because he's way more famous than the duel that ended up killing him. And you tell it in a way that I think is incredibly accessible to everybody. And then you start remembering the songs, and then you realize that the drama and the education you're getting is from song and dance. Yeah. It's an achievement for sure.
And the rap one is like the most famous one, but like all the other ones are like really good too.
Oh yeah. No, it's, I think it's 2.5 hours, something like that. It went by really fast. I didn't even, I sit in there, because like I said, it took about a half a song, and then I got the tempo and the beat down, and then you start hearing it better, and then you kind of get lost in everything that's going on. I was thoroughly impressed.
Yeah. And it got really emotional, like, towards the end when, like his kid died, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's like, they're setting up his, like, death and everything. Yeah,
his son died in a duel as well.
Yeah.
So it's...
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I don't know what else to say about it. It's... You should watch
it. It's just an amazing achievement.
It is. And, again, they made history cool. Because I love that stuff, but... If I hand you a 1,200-page book by Ron Chernow about Alexander Hamilton, it's a great book. It is a great book. But that's a tough pill to digest. But how Lin-Manuel Miranda was able to condense that book, the whole story of Hamilton's life, and then make it in a play is incredible, because you also have... But Hamilton isn't really the narrator of the story either, you know? So it's how he's perceived as well. It's a really fascinating, incredible performance. I can't speak highly enough about it.
Nice. I'm glad you liked it.
Yeah. Good recommendation. Brad, we also watched 1776.
That reminds me, I got to get the Steelbook. I saw it come up and I forgot to get it.
I didn't know there's a Steelbook of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll have to do that.
Because you can't trust streaming.
Yeah, fuck no. Do you recommend... 1776.
I did not have as much fun as you did with Hamilton with 1776. It's a different beast compared to Hamilton. I haven't seen anything like the play, so I have nothing else to compare it to. But like as a movie, it is a tough sit. A lot less musical, a lot more Lincoln, I'd say. There's a big stretch. I forget where in the scheme of things, but like, you know, Lincoln's a good movie, but like there's a lot of just Congress people arguing with each other. That slows things down.
Yeah. I hadn't seen it in a long time, and I agree. It's whiplash because if I think of old fuddy-duddy musicals, this is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's not fun musicals like Mary Poppins. It's... Here's a trailer for 1776.
1776. The international stage triumph comes to the screen with the rousing songs and the spirit of 1776.
No colony has ever broken from the parent stem in the history of the world.
Look at him, ready to lead this continent down the fiery path of total destruction.
Oh, good God, why can't you acknowledge what already exists? It has been more than a year since conquering Lexington. Damn it, man, we're at war.
The right to be free comes from nature.
The slavery clause has got to go.
Franklin, what are you saying?
The issue here is independence.
I can't say I'm very fond of the United States of America as a name for a new country.
Though the shell may belong to Great Britain, the eagle inside belongs to us.
So, yeah, I mean, 1776, it's basically the First Continental Congress.
Yeah.
And you're following John Adams and, hey, this is what we're arguing about politically, and it's
what should be on the Constitution.
Yeah, and it's
can we get everyone on board with ratifying the Constitution.
Yeah. I think it's slightly longer than Hamilton. I don't remember.
Yeah, it's like 3 hours.
But the songs in it
aren't that memorable.
No, Lincoln, come on, bud. I don't. When I rewatched it, because again, I love the American Revolution. But I go, man, this is a really saccharine, almost too cutesy version of it. And you suck the drama out because I think the songs were not memorable and they're kind of silly. And not that, I mean, there's some performers that are really good. But also, I would find myself laughing like Peter Griffin at some points. I'd be, because there's a part, it's really close at the beginning where, it's John Adams, but she says, all your children have diphtheria. And I go, meh. Like, I'm trying not to laugh, but the lyrics are so fucking stupid. And that, I don't think those are the exact lyrics, but something like that. And as I watch it, where Lincoln's great when it's just cabinet meetings because there's drama there, it's so stiff in this movie, and it feels very musically that they didn't translate the Broadway show as well, which is really odd because we're just on the Hamilton, we're watching the actual stage performance. And maybe it's because the actors aren't as dynamic as the ones that are in Hamilton. I don't know.
I can't imagine in like the stage version of 1776 they're jumping around and doing backflips.
Yeah. Or, I mean, too, because I have a soft spot for it because, again, just I love that time period. And it's not a horrible musical, but it is whiplash when you go from Hamilton. Because I watched them almost back to back. So I watched Hamilton one day and then I watched 1776 the next day. And there's no joy. I don't know how to describe it.
It's really flat.
Yeah, there we go. Because when I was watching Hamilton, you're getting into the beat and everyone's... And this, okay, I guess we're singing about the Constitution.
Here's a bunch of songs, singing in the streets about the Constitution. And then we're going to take a break and we're going to go back into the halls of the Continental Congress. And these guys are going to argue about, like, well, I don't want to, be a part of the 13 colonies because whatever.
I will say, I don't know if it was shot in Independence Hall, but it looked like it was. So I like the sets.
Probably not. It's probably a set.
I like the sets. I thought the costumes were really cool in it. What was it? That guy was from Boy Saves World, or William Danielson is John Adams. So he's he's a principal in the other Savage Kids TV show from the 90s, Boy Meets World, I think is what it was.
You talk about Hamilton now?
No, in 1776.
He's in a 90s show?
Yeah. Anyways.
I didn't recognize anyone in the cast.
Blythe Danner is Gwyneth Paltrow's mom. She's one of the wives.
Oh, missed that.
But it's harmless. It's just... It's hard to go from Hamilton to 1776 because it feels like it's an after school special where you're supposed to get excited about the musical. And I just, you can't,
and you catch your songs.
Like, yeah. It's weird. Do I recommend it? I don't know. Like I don't know. And
not when Hamilton exists.
That's true. Because Hamilton deals with kind of the same subject, but does it better. I mean leaps and bounds better. And but again Hamilton shouldn't work as a musical, but you have the genius of Lin-Manuel Miranda doing it. And this one, it 1776 feels like a Broadway play, if that makes sense. It's
a stuffy,
yeah, but not in a good way, because I love musicals and I love stuff like My Fair Lady, Mary Poppins, and this one seems blah.
No, it's a lot of like doing paperwork.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Fair.
There's no supercalifragilisticexpialidocious to the American Constitution.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, but Hamilton, you have stuff you can latch onto. This can't do it. Can't do it. Anyways, Brad, we watch things throughout the week too. Besides this stuff.
So, this is the stuff we've been watching.
What'd you watch this week?
Let's see. This week, I watched Othello with Zach, and that'll be an episode on his podcast soon.
Yeah, spoil his podcast. Did you like it?
It was... okay.
Did you have a good discussion with Zach, I guess, is a better question.
I had a
great
discussion with Zach. Good. He paired it with indie filmmaking, and which is why he picked me as, like, I guess Orson Welles, this wasn't like a Hollywood movie. It was Orson Welles going off and doing like an indie film so he could raise money to do the thing you want to do in Hollywood.
Yeah.
It's Shakespeare, so he didn't write it. But in adapting it, it's shot really, like, there's some good shots in it. But everything else is kind of bland. Like, the play itself is, you know, this guy just, like, gets really jealous and suspicious of his wife, but, like, for being this general who's very respected, he doesn't, like, follow evidence very well. You know? Like, he doesn't really, like, really help his wife prove that she's not, like, sleeping around, you know?
Othello, you stupid motherfucker.
Yeah. So, anyway, I watched that. And Scarface played at the Alamo because they're doing De Palma.
Movie's really overrated.
I never saw it in theaters until now.
Make it better?
A little bit, but also it also made it goofier. You know, like, I remember, like, watching it on VHS, you know, like, when I worked at the video store.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, Vice City came out, and so it, like, homaged Scarface, Scarface a ton. But, you know, like, now you, like, look back and you're like, why did they cast Al Pacino as a Cuban-American? I get it, like, in the 80s, like, yeah, you, like, attach a major actor to, like, sell a movie. Like, I get that part of it. But, like, there really wasn't, like... Like, even his buddy, Stephen Bauer, couldn't have, like, just been him. Yeah. And then, like, have Pacino in a different role. But, like, as a crime epic, yeah, it's still pretty good.
I'm not a fan of it.
Like, it's cool that, like, instead of just making, like, a 20s gangster movie of Scarface, like, he's like, oh, I can, like, make it relevant to the 80s with this whole Miami cocaine connection thing. So I, like,
I think
that.
Maybe it's because... Everybody had it in their dorm room.
Yeah, that part's annoying. Yeah. Everyone has that poster. Yeah. But yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's it. I guess I rewatched The Hateful Eight for the first time since it came out.
You know, I've never seen that. And I always feel guilty because Zach, for Christmas, got me the Blu-ray. Yeah, still sitting on my shelf.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do that this week.
Zach. Yeah, like, it was in my top 10 when it came out, and then just watching it, I was like, this is just, like, you know, it's probably better as a play, really, than a movie, because it's, like, all these characters in one location talking to each other, and it, nothing, it, like, nothing, I don't feel like the characters grew or learned anything, and it seems like a big excuse for, Tarantino to put the N-word on screen.
Yeah,
because it's in it a lot, and people seem to really enjoy saying it in the movie. But, you know, everyone's, like, all the actors in it are really good.
Oh yeah,
it is interesting.
I mean, I haven't seen it, but
the performances are really compelling, and it flies by for, like, almost another 3-hour movie.
I will say that, you know, when I saw The Whole Bloody Affair, I was worried, you know, a 4.5-hour long movie, it went by really quick.
For what it is, like, with something that does, like, not a lot happens in it, like, time jumps to make it more interesting. But yeah, overall, like, you're like, at the end, you're kind of like, nothing really, like, came out of this that was, like, consequential. So yeah, that's what I watched.
Yeah. So because Hamilton and 1776 were so long, I only watched one thing this week. And I got in the mail Jackie Chan's Breakout Hits. And so I watched the first movie in it, which is Drunken Master 2. That movie's fucking awesome.
I haven't seen that one.
No?
No.
So it's the American version is The Legend of the Drunken Master.
Oh, the one they put out in like 2000?
Yeah.
Okay. So I think I have seen it.
You have. And so, which is cool about
the it's like Mad Max, where it's like they released it in America is...
Yeah.
Road Warrior, but it's actually Mad Max 2.
Yeah, but also, so what's cool on your Arrow set, because you told me you're going to get it, is they have three versions of it. They have the original, which I watched, and then they have the American version, which Dimension re-edited and added new music, different sound effects, and Jackie Chan dubbed his voice in the American one. which he can, because I think Jackie Chan speaks like 3 or 4 languages. But it was really fascinating watching how different it is. Not that the edit's any different, but with different music, different sound effects, and slightly different dialogue, it changes the movie. But anyways, I watched Drunken Master first, and it's just really fun. It's the second part. I've never seen the first Drunken Master, so I don't know.
That's weird. That's not on the set either.
Yeah. But anyways, in it, he plays a guy who relies on drunken fighting, and the danger of it is if you get actually drunk to fight. And his dad runs, the thing is, I get so many kung fu movies now, and they always seem to have a village, and there's always like a master, and his dad's the master, and they're running into problems with this other gang that's coming around. And the conflict comes when Jackie Chan's mom, who's also there, tells him, you know, hey, you know, you should drink and you'll be a better drunken fighter. And his dad, when he does that, thinks it's a disgrace that you shouldn't be drinking. And so there's a conflict there. But the stunt work and the choreography are fucking incredible. And what's cool about this is it goes from this to Rumble in the Bronx and Operation Condor and things like that. But when you watch him on screen and how he does things, because he's the director too, it is incredible. There's a part where he's chasing a guy through a train station, and he slides underneath a train, and they're fighting underneath a train, and they're using bow staffs, and how are they doing this? And he'll jump up, and he'll fly through the window, like bringing his whole body through, and it's funny. What's great about Jackie Chan movies, because I've been getting a lot of them lately, is even when they're in Cantonese or whatever it is, Mandarin, I don't even know what language he speaks, there's so many of them, but you don't get lost. You get lost in the world, but they're not hard to follow. They're super entertaining. I've always liked him, but lately I've been getting a lot of kung fu stuff because it's just fun, and it was a lot of fun watching Drunken Master.
Yeah, I can't wait to see it again.
Yeah, it's and I mean that's in 4K. Oh,
I bet. Yeah,
and like I said, it's cool because not only do they have 3 different versions of the movie, and I watched all of them, and then the special features are awesome because each movie in there, I've only got on the first disc in it, the first movie, but they have documentaries on how they made them all. They have historians about the fighting style and the stunt coordinating. It's a fucking awesome set. And I've only gone through the first disc. And if the first disc has all that stuff on it, I know the other stuff has it on there. So I'm really excited to watch Rumble in the Bronx. That's the first Jackie Chan movie I remember watching.
I think it might be mine too.
Because I remember when that came out, it was a big deal.
Yeah.
Because he did that, and I think he did Rush Hour right after it.
I think Mr. Nice Guy came out.
Was that first? I can't remember.
And then Rush Hour.
But like I said, I'm starting to get into him. A while ago, I know I talked about it on the podcast, I got the Shout Select Volume 2 because it was normally $100. I got it for $33. And then I went to, they're not the same, but I went to 2nd and Charles in Denver West. And Arrow put out this thing called Shaw Scope, which are the Shaw brothers. So I got volume 2, 3. It was used, but it was still like wrapped. And it was only $40. I'm like, this is a mistake. So I fucking got it. And that has 14 movies, and they have special features like this. And that's the one that I've watched a few on it. And then I bought Volume 4, which I need to watch, and I'm excited to watch 4 because I guess it's a bunch of supernatural like monster movies, which is awesome because the Shaw brothers bring kung fu into it, so it's basically kung fu against monsters. Can't fucking wait. So yeah, no, it's awesome. I can't wait to watch the rest of them, and that's all I watched this week.
Cool.
Next week is Evil Dead Burn, and I love Evil Dead.
Yeah, you do.
So I'm really excited for that one. In fact, I'm gonna see it a couple days early.
No,
They're doing a event at the Alamo for Evil Dead Burn. a pre-screening. And I think Zach might be there. I originally wasn't going to be able to make it, but because my schedule got all goofy, it made it so I worked in the day. So then I got a ticket for it. One of the last ones. So I'm excited to go go see some Evil Dead.
Cool.
Until next week, see you at the movies.
Well, a real nerd knows who shot. A real nerd can follow the plot. A real nerd will turn out all the gods. Lights, camera, action.
Thanks for listening to Real Nerds Podcast, a Nebulous Visions production. Stream or download episodes, read articles at realnerdspodcast.com. Stream us on Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or iHeartRadio. Follow us on Facebook, Real Nerds Podcast. Twitter and Instagram, at Real Nerds. Watch us on YouTube, Real Nerds Podcast. Email us at realnerds@gmail.com. Call us at 720-6NERDS5. Thank you to Sparks Mandrill, Mike at Plan 9 Studios, and Bolognium for all of our groovy theme songs. And that's how you fucking do it!